Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So ever since the results of our European and local elections became clear, the political agenda has been dominated by that one question: when will we have a general election? But those results also offer intriguing clues into what that campaign might look like, some of the challenges which lie ahead for the various parties. So here to pick through them for us, we have Ireland editor with the Irish Independent, Fionnán Sheehan, and from our Waterford studio, law lecturer at the Southeast Technological University, Jennifer Cavanagh. You're both welcome as we look back over this. Now, Fionnán, Caroline O'Doherty, your colleague in The Independent, is writing that an early general election would put a raft of critical climate laws at risk. Is that something that you think might cause friction amongst the coalition party leaders? More friction than we've seen to date?
Yeah, there won't be a whole lot of tears being shed from the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael perspective. Obviously, the Green Party will be worried that they can't say we have completed our agenda from a five-year term in government, because what you saw last weekend was the Green Party got taxed, basically, for going into government. They noticed themselves, not just on first preferences, but transfers that they were getting in 2019 were suddenly not coming their way at all when People Before Profit, Social Democrat, Labour Party candidates were going out. So hence, they were suffering on two fronts. Meanwhile, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will say, well, it was supposed to be bad for us, but it wasn't all that bad. If the Greens had a bad day, that's not really our problem. And likewise, there is an attitude change, it would appear, within Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael about the Greens in the last week, where they kind of be looking at them going, listen, the likelihood is they're going to be going out. They're not going to be around next time. We may need an alternative partner, be it that Labour or Independents. So that the timing of the general election and who determines that, it's more important that Simon Harris keeps Micheál Martin on side with that than it is Eamon Ryan. Mm-hmm. The view even being expressed from Fianna Fáil was, yeah, Eamon isn't going to have a big say in this one. No.
Right. Well, there's a story in the Mail this morning about this, about councillors being gently encouraged, Fianna Fáil councillors, to vote with the Labour Party.
Court Labour as a potential alternative. If you look at it, I mean, we went into last weekend, was this going to be the death rattle of the Labour Party? Now they're back, you're looking at a number of their seats and going, okay, suddenly now they're holding on to those seats that previously you were looking at them potentially losing. So you'll now say, okay, they have a good chance now coming back with the four TDs who will be, or four seats. They'll be in the hunt for several more. And if they happen to be Green Party seats, so be it. So if you've got Labour as a potential viable alternative, well, then that's quite attractive to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. You should be looking at the Social Democrats in the same perspective, but they seem to still be more interested in protest and power.
Right. And that notion that Fianna Fáil are already gently courting Labour, is that out there around the place?
It's out there that certainly the Greens are a less important partner on the political pitch at the moment, and that therefore you're going to have to look elsewhere. Independence can be tricky because you are having to line up each individual one with an individual deal and hoping they'll stay on side. Whereas if you can get a mature party that has been in government before, then that's a better option.
Okay, and Jennifer, for you listening to all of that and watching what has happened since the results started to come in Saturday a week ago now, do you think that the relationship between the Greens and the coalition partners Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have been almost irreparable? Damaged.
Yes, well, certainly some candidates were complaining about the way that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were talking about them, with the autocratic jibes and the like coming in. So yes, look, everyone who's watching politics knows that the general election is going to happen sooner rather than later. With the amount of by-elections coming in, it is actually just easier to have the general election than four different by-elections. So we will see the manoeuvring coming in, and also over the summer when the Dáil is in recess, and it's not a case of just shouting across the chamber at each other. It will come out a little bit more who they're doing deals with, but I wouldn't necessarily put too much stall on, say, PACs that come in local councils for, say, the position of mayor, because I know from watching Waterford, you can see some very strange configurations coming up. But it is far easier to manage a coalition if you're dealing with parties, as Fanon said, than looking at each individual Santa list for all the different independents.
Mm-hmm. Now, looking at the preparation work that the various parties will be doing for a general election, whenever it's coming, they'll need to shore up their candidate lists. And one of the breakthrough winners at European and local level was the newly formed Independent Ireland. But Jennifer, you've spotted a major hurdle for them looking at who got elected, and that is gender quotas.
Correct. So the gender quota is going to increase for the next general election. So it'll move from 30%, as it currently is, up to 40%. Now, that doesn't mean 40% of those elected have to be women. It's 40% of the ticket that they put out nationally will have to have more women on it. So, for example, Independent Ireland, if you look at their list, there wasn't many women there. And it is important that they actually meet these criteria, because they will end up losing central government funding, which is how they run their administrative staff and their offices. So if you look at, say, the European elections, the established parties are doing well. When it comes to the local elections, they do want a gender quota in there, but the legislation in that area is very, very messy. So you're going to need a little bit more homework done on that before you can bring it through. But even though there was around 677 females ran for the local election, they didn't really get that much of an increase at all, because there was only 566 the last time. You're looking at over 100 more, but it didn't actually translate to more women in local local politics.
And a party will always look to local councillors. That's the training ground for
absolutely
for
the apprenticeship route.
So you have for Independent Ireland 23 local councillors elected, but only one of those is a woman. So you can see there where the problem might lie if they're looking towards their councillors to run for the general election.
Correct. So there's a lot of work to be done there to firstly ensure that we have enough women in politics. We've seen an awful lot of attacks on women and, well, all candidates, to be fair, but particular issues with women running, where there was attacks on them. And that's just stuff that you could see on your social media, say from TikTok, posters being thrown around the place and threats of violence, but also the online space and what's actually going on there. And that's actually one important piece of legislation that hopefully won't lapse either, along with the environmental legislation. And that's sorting out our own legislation to be in line with, say, the Digital Services Act, to ensure that there's proper fair procedure and fair play online when it comes to political advertising.
The notion that there would be an election, Fionnán, in the autumn, is the worm turning a bit on that? I saw every paper practically over the weekend had an article for and an article against.
3 months ago, two referendums were going to pass easily. Leo Varadkar was going to be Taoiseach and Sinn Féin were going to eat everybody in the next general election. So we're now comfortably predicting this is what's going to happen in 4 months' time. There's going to be a general election called on October the 1st and it'll happen
no
on October 25th.
That.
I don't. I have massive doubts about that, because it just shows you, the last 3 months shows how unpredictable things can be. There are a number of significant events about to happen over the coming months. The appointment of a European Commissioner, a potential mini reshuffle off the back of that, a new finance minister maybe coming into place, the passing of a budget. The budget in recent times, it hasn't delivered a massive boost for the government on the day itself. It's probably taken time to trickle through.
Well, it's happened in polls briefly when the money goes in the pocket. So January time, you'll see a short boost in the polls. But anyway, we're to disregard polls now,
that's
aren't
January.
We?
Yeah, we're supposed to ignore polls now. So what happens if there's a change in the polls over the coming couple of months? Do people start taking a step back again? I mean, I saw a Fine Gael TD who was one of the people who made a complete hames of the last general election campaign for his party, offering advice to Simon Harris on when to call a general election. And I just thought, well, if that fella is offering campaign advice, well, then Simon Harris needs to think carefully here.
Sure.
I don't think it's a done deal. Not a million miles from your parish, but
Advice is easy come by now. Jennifer, we were talking about the notion of electronic counting machines when we were in the Tuesday after the election, which happened on the Friday, and, you know, counting then until Thursday. Is there a strong argument now for those electronic counting machines to be looked at?
I certainly do think so. Now, this is totally different to electronic voting. People will still remember that from Martin Cullen brought it in when he was Minister for the Environment. We like our tallies, we like the drama, but what electronic counting will allow for is the tallies will still be able to happen because you'll still have to physically take the ballot papers out of the boxes and sort them out. But essentially what electronic counting would do is allow for all those to go into a machine, so we're not waiting 72 hours per count as what was happening in some of the European count centres. It speeds up the process. There is still a paper trail. You can still spoil your vote, because I know some people with the electronic voting machines were saying, how am I going to spoil the vote? And the only answer people could give was press every button and break the machine. But at least with the electronic counting, it's the machine readable. So you're putting in the little dots and the machine reads that, counts it. And something it might also hopefully do is get rid of this whole issue that we have where people were voting 1, 2, 3 on one ballot paper and then 4, 5, 6 on the other. Since the Kiley against Kerry County Council case, that does not count because a 4 is not a 1. Yes, it is a higher preference, but the law has gone quite technical on this. There's a strong argument that the law may need to be reformed on that area because there was still loads of people making this error in the local and European counts or voting process. But at least if it's machine readable, it's got to be scratching your thing. Like if you're doing the lotto numbers, it would be very similar to that. Just put in your mark and it'll speed it up, and hopefully there will be less technicalities with the votes that people give as well.
But you'd still get to see where the transfers are going. You'd still get your counts as you go through it. It would just be quicker.
Absolutely. And considering the bill for just staffing the count centres, we would certainly reduce that. And if we're just machine reading, yes, people do have concerns with online interference and dark actors hanging around electoral systems to cause trouble, there will still always be that paper trail that you can check if there is a significant issue or a query that needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. What was notable about last weekend was, despite all the conspiracy theories in the world out there, nobody was questioning any of the results because it was so absolutely transparent.
Correct.
I think what has changed in the past 20 years since the e-voting machines have gone as hacking has become a more prevalent issue, and conspiracy theories about elections being fixed and so on and so forth. So I don't see any great rush now to be swapping over from a perfectly good system that may take a while to one where people can immediately start raising questions about it.
Yeah, and they will.
Yeah, and they will.
It's almost guaranteed that they will.
Once you go computerised and there is going to be a setup, an obvious setup cost, which we've already got burnt on, then you are going to end up with a situation where people are questioning results, and it could actually end up taking longer.
Mm-hmm. Just on the notion of transfers, we mentioned them there in the context of electronic counting. Like, as we were going through it, we were saying it was very hard to know where transfers were going with some particular candidates, but there were patterns emerging. What did you see overall, just looking back now?
Yeah, there were definitely, I mean, on the first day people were looking at tallies going, oh, transfers are going all over the place. Okay, that's fine. But when it came down, when it got serious, Dublin being the classic example, you were seeing direct transfer patterns, vote left, stay left, for example, between the likes of the Social Democrats and People for Profit and Labour, that previous trend where the Greens were possibly more transfer friendly on one side than the other. There is a natural evolving Fianna Fáil to Fine Gael transfer, which has been happening over the course of the last decade, which is probably solidifying. The Sinn Féin internal transfer is still the envy of everybody, 60-65%, 1-2, 1-2, down the line. The interesting thing here will be where Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael kind of probably don't need to say it directly, there's got to be an issue on the left side of transfer packs and encouraging people to vote for other parties of a similar mindset. And if they don't do so, they will leave seats behind on the table. You could look at the Ireland South count and go, if there was a more strict transfer pattern on the left, then Grace O'Sullivan would have held on to her seat because there was enough votes there, but the transfers were going astray.
Yeah, it's nearly impossible to get agreement on that, as we know from experience.
We do, but it's becoming increasingly more important as the system becomes more and more fragmented, and the parties don't naturally have enough to get them across the line on their own.
Okay, now I see press releases flying in welcoming this decision, which has happened in the last couple of minutes. The Nature Restoration Law has been passed by the European Parliament. It's the first piece of legislation to be passed since the elections. It's one of the EU's biggest environmental policies. It requires member states to introduce measures to restore nature on a fifth of their land and sea by 2030. We'll hear more about that as we go through the morning. Right though, now though, Fionnán Sheehan and Jennifer Kavanagh, thank you both. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.